clearly not dead.
Vågor av attackhelikoptrar anföll de irakiska trupperna under hela eftermiddagen. I stridens förvirring kunde ingen säkert veta hur många förband som kom undan utan att bli upptäckta. Men amerikanernas avsikt var att skära av flyktvägarna och innesluta irakierna i en ring av allierade stridsvagnar.
بس ما مشوا موته قدامنا يعني الجنود كلهم صفطوا موته من هذا وكانت الجيش كله يعني حالته من هذا انتهت الجيش يعني اصلا تشوف تقول مو عسكري هذا شلون من هذول المسودنين بالشوارع هو هذا الجيش
I just feel sorry for them, you know, and when you throw out food, they all run, and it doesn't seem like they want to fight.
70 000 man hade kapitulerat. Amerikanerna brydde sig inte längre om att bevaka dem, utan skickade dem bara vidare bakåt. Om man skulle lyckas med inringningen av irakierna, och i synnerhet det republikanska gardet, måste striderna fortsätta. Men i Washington var USAs högste militär orolig för att de skrämmande tv-bilderna av dödandet skulle fläcka den amerikanska krigsmaktens goda rykte.
You don't do unnecessary killing if it can be avoided. At some point you decide you've accomplished your objectives and you stop. We owned Kuwait City. The question was, how much additional destruction do we want to inflict upon the Iraqi army that was in the Kuwait theater?
Apache-helikoptrar som byggts för att slå ut stridsvagnskolonner förföljde nu enskilda soldater på slagfältet. För att inte krigsmakten skulle anklagas för att döda för dödandets egen skull var Colin Powell beredd att låta de återstående irakiska styrkorna komma undan. Powell beslöt sig för att ringa upp Norman Schwarzkopf. Klockan var 7 på morgonen i Washington och 3 på eftermiddagen ute i öknen.
Colin said to me, "What are your plans?" My response to him was, "We plan to continue to execute the operation and continue to drive towards the sea, east towards the sea." And he then said to me, how long would that take you? And my response to him was, it will take until the end of tomorrow. So we could cease fire tomorrow evening at dark, and we would have completely accomplished the plan.
Powell visste att det innebar att dödandet skulle fortsätta en dag till. Presidenten måste fatta ett beslut.
After talking to Schwarzkopf, I went over to the White House. I took the president through the situation on the ground. I pointed out they were starting to see some scenes that were unpleasant. And we were in the window of calling an end to it so as that there was not unnecessary additional loss of life on the part of American and coalition forces or on the part of Iraqi youngsters.
Colin said, we basically have done it. We have destroyed the Republican Guard. We have expelled them from Kuwait. We have essentially completed our objectives, and I believe we are just a few hours from completing that effort.
And I would expect that within the next 24 hours, I would be bringing you a recommendation with respect to the cessation of hostilities. The president then said, well, if that's the case, we're within the window, why not end it now?
And there was a feeling, I think it was especially pronounced on the part of General Powell, that we'd asked the troops to do about all we could do by way of continuing the slaughter. I mean, in fact, the Iraqi resistance was collapsing fairly rapidly. And it was pretty clear that we'd want a tremendous victory.
Colin Powell called me. He said, I'm at the White House. We've discussed ending the war. Could you, in fact, execute a ceasefire if it was declared effective midnight Washington time tonight? Which would have been first thing in the morning, our time. I told him that I could live with that.
And he said, yeah, I think that's probably right thing to do, or words to that effect.
Quite frankly, the driving force behind my saying that I could live with it was the fact that if we went on another day, we were going to kill some more of our people, and we had already won an overwhelming victory with a minimum of casualties, and that was good enough for me.
Medan Paul och Schwarzkopf överlade ringde presidenten upp sina allierade. Han underrättade dem om att det var dags att avsluta kriget.
And at 5:57, 3 minutes before 6, the president reaffirmed his decision. He says, I think this is the thing to do. And that was it. That was the decision.
It was a decision that as best I can recall, there was absolutely no dissent from on the part of any of the president's advisors.
Deep down, I wondered if we really had done quite enough, but I did not dissent from the decision. Did not argue that we should go another day.
Ett dygn efter att kriget avbrutits avslöjade satellitkamerorna att hälften av det republikanska gardets stridsvagnar var intakta.
Well, I was no longer there. I think perhaps I might have argued it very differently if I had been, and very firmly. And I think that I might have said, look, maybe this thing would never have got started unless I was a firm enough ally to do it. And I can only tell you that in my experience, we've got to do the job properly before we finish.
I lägesrummet hade man inte haft några tankar på eldupphör. Efter 6 månaders förberedelser väntade man sig att irakierna skulle gå i fällan nästa dag.
General Schwarzkopf walked into the war room and he said, we are going to have a ceasefire. Well, I thought that he was jesting. So I said, that's bullshit. So he says, no, I'm serious. We will have a ceasefire. So I said, we have not accomplished our mission. Why is it that we're going to stop what we set out to do and stop the war? And General Schwarzkopf says, Cal, God damn it, the President of the United States has made a decision to stop this war.
I was just damn glad to have the victory in our hands with a minimum loss of casualties, and I was willing to settle for that because that's a hell of a lot more than anybody's had in war in as long as I can remember.
I gryningen ryckte de brittiska styrkorna fram genom öknen mot vägen som går från Kuwait City till Irak.
As we pulled over the top of the ridge, in front of us was the highway. We'd seen dead bodies before, but it was in the next few hours that once you were actually in and among it for the first time, walking around, clearing your positions or whatever, that's when it started, you know, they actually came across of how much carnage there was there.
De här bilderna släpptes ut först när kriget var slut. Men det var sådana scener som männen i Vita huset tänkte på när de försökte bedöma de politiska riskerna med ett fortsatt krig. De brittiska soldaterna använde samma namn på vägen som piloterna, dödens motorväg.
There was a young Iraqi soldier who was lying in the back of the car. He had very brown eyes that were open and staring, and he had a peaceful look on his face. It wasn't until you looked a bit closer that you realized that he was missing a hand and part of his leg had been blown off.
Man beräknar att 10 000 irakiska soldater dog under de 6 veckorna före markoffensiven. Ytterligare 10 000 dog under de 4 dagar som markstriderna varade.
There was a lot of civilian equipment that had been stolen from Kuwait City. For me, the thing that I found most distressing was the smell of cheap perfume, this sweet, sickly smell. I was ready for the smell of war, but I wasn't ready for the smell of kind of everyday life and normality. I felt there was an immense sense of evil there. I mean, I detested being there. And for 3 days that we actually sat on the highway, I hated it. And it enveloped me more and more and more.
Kuwait is liberated. Iraq's army is defeated. Our military objectives are met.
I am pleased to announce that at midnight tonight, Eastern Standard Time, exactly 100 hours since ground operations commenced and 6 weeks since the start of Operation Desert Storm, all United States and coalition forces will suspend offensive combat operations.
Tre timmar senare upphörde striderna. Iraks underrättelsetjänst fångade upp presidentens tillkännagivande.
فأنا اتصلت بسكرتير رئيس الجمهورية وقلت له بأن بوش قد وافق كذا. عنتر بن شداد كان عنتر بن شداد أصبح بطلا. يعني أخذ يبين قوته وانتصرنا وإلى آخره. ارتفعت معنوياته. نستطيع من نقول من الصفر إلى نستطيع أن نقول مئة.
För var dag som kriget pågick hade chansen för att Saddams regim skulle störtas ökat. Nu var förödmjukelserna över. Det värsta hotet, allierade stridsvagnar på Bagdads gator, hade avvärjts. De allierade hade avbrutit kriget. Nu kunde Saddam satsa allt på att överleva.
They were not kind to us. They did not love us to stay in power. It was quite clear, but they wanted to avoid casualties because George Bush entered that adventure, promising the American people that it will not be another Vietnam. And he kept his promise very efficiently.
On the question of going to Baghdad, if you remember the Vietnam War, we had no international legitimacy for what we did. As a result, we, first of all, lost the battle in world public opinion. Eventually, we lost the battle at home. In the Gulf War, we had great international legitimacy in the form of 8 United Nations resolutions, every one of which said, kick Iraq out of Kuwait. Did not say one word about going into Iraq, taking Baghdad, conquering the whole country, and hanging Saddam Hussein. That's point number one. Point number two, had we gone on to Baghdad, I don't believe the French would have gone. And I'm quite sure that the Arab coalition would not have gone. The coalition would have ruptured, and the only people that would have gone would have been the United Kingdom and the United States of America. And, oh, by the way, I think we'd still be there. We'd be like a dinosaur in a tar pit. We could not have gotten out, and we'd still be the occupying power, and we'd be paying 100% of all the costs to administer all of Iraq.
Två dagar efter eldupphör besköts 24:e infanteridivisionen av en brigad ur det republikanska gardet som var på väg hem till Irak. USA:s svar blev förödande. Sju månader efter det att de irakiska trupperna gick in i Kuwait hade den sista striden utkämpats. Konflikten hade kostat de allierade 240 liv, varav 24 brittiska. En tredjedel av Saddams styrkor undkom genom att kriget avbröts. Men Iraks militära makt var krossad och de allierade ockuperade ett stort område i södra Irak. De allierade väntade sig att Saddam nu skulle bli avsatt genom en palatskupp. Istället tog ett nytt och mer fasansfullt krig sin början. I de irakiska städerna närmast de allierade linjerna hade Saddams styre brutit samman. Vanliga människor tog till vapen mot den förhatliga regimen. De här bilderna togs i Karbala, men liknande scener utspelade sig över hela södra Irak. Allahu akbar! La ilaha Rebellerna var till övervägande del shia-muslimer som utgjorde majoriteten av befolkningen i södra Irak. Om och om igen hade president Bush manat irakierna att göra uppror. Bara några timmar efter krigsslutet gjorde han det på nytt.
I've always said that the Iraqi people should put him aside. I want to see an end. You mentioned World War II. There was a definitive end to that conflict. And now we have Saddam Hussein still there.
I Iraks andra stad, Basra, gjorde soldater som hade flytt från Kuwait gemensam sak med rebellerna. I fängelset fanns en britt som 2 månader tidigare hade förts bort från sitt hem i Kuwait.
Well, we heard small arms fire. Then there was mortar fire accompanying. Then more small arms fire. The guards by this time had melted away, had disappeared. Whether they went to defend the outside perimeter or not, difficult to say. We couldn't tell. But when the gates were shot open, everyone rushed out.
ومو شرط التنظيمات، الناس صارت من الظلم، صارت من الأذى، من الجوع، من الإعدامات قاعد تصير، الاعتقالات قاعد تصير، مو شرط دين، ولكن الظلم الموجود. ظلم كان جدا قاسي. يمكن المذابح بالشوارع، فالناس من الظلم انتفضت. تخلص من هذا النظام.
The revolutionaries had taken command by this time. There wasn't any doubt that the police and the army were not in control. And the general mood was, pleasure, joy. Everyone was free.
Basra låg så nära de amerikanska linjerna att Brock Matthews kunde sätta sig i säkerhet.
We did not think, the president nor any of us thought at that time that Saddam would continue in power, having suffered such a resounding defeat.
Nu när segern var vunnen tycktes ledningsgruppen i Vita huset tappa det politiska grepp som hade varit nyckeln till framgången. Norman Schwarzkopf fick i uppgift att reglera detaljerna kring uppgörelsen med irakierna.
Norman Schwarzkopf said, how did we make this happen? What do we do? And we had a State Department representative in our war room, and he said to the State Department representative, what is it we're supposed to do, Mr. State Department Rep? And the State Department Rep gave what we call the Iraqi salute. He didn't know.
I had no instructions whatsoever, so lacking any, and based upon the conversations Cole and I had, I called my stenographer in and dictated my own terms of reference, and then I called up Cole and said, I'm going to send these to you, if you all approve, then send them back to me, and this is what I'll do.
The Pentagon changed happy to glad, we to they, and put in a few fixes, gave it to the State Department. The State Department changed a couple of words and sent it back to us and says, use this.
Schwarzkopf bestämde att samtalen skulle hållas i det ockuperade Irak utanför staden Safwan. De irakiska ledarna ville ha en uppgörelse som återställde de ockuperade områdena och framförallt tillät dem att slå ner upproren utan risk för allierad intervention. Schwarzkopf hade enklare målsättningar.
I went to Safwan with my own instructions, which basically number one was to get our POWs back. And then number two, to make sure that we had very, very clear lines drawn so that we didn't have any inadvertent battles after that.
Ett par attackhelikoptrar svävade över den irakiska konvojen. Bara några timmar tidigare hade generalerna som skulle träffa Schwarzkopf fått sina direktiv av Saddam personligen.
Saddam kan يريد بأي طريقة تثبيت وقف إطلاق النار. وكان يقول قدموا لهم كل ما يريدون من معلومات وتسهيلات عن حقول الألغام أعيدوا الأسرى قدموا المعلومات سريعا عن الأسرى كي لا تكون هنالك حجة أو ذريعة بيد الغرب لاستئناف العمليات الحربية فكان يريد التوقيع بأي ثمن
Åtföljd av den saudiska överbefälhavaren förde Schwarzkopf de irakiska generalerna till tältet där mötet skulle hållas. När samtalen väl kom igång fick Schwarzkopf igenom alla sina krav, men det fick även irakierna.
What they were most concerned about was that this was going to be a permanent border. And over and over again they kept saying, is this a permanent border or is this just temporary? And I kept having to reassure them that no, this is not a permanent border. This is a temporary demarcation line between our forces. And then this fellow looked at me and said, well, can we fly our helicopters? And I knew the great devastation we had inflicted upon their roads and their bridges, and that seemed like a very reasonable request to me.
General Sultan Hashim Ahmad hade en hög post i försvarsdepartementet. Hans kollega general Salah Abud Mahmud hade lett de irakiska styrkorna i Kuwait. De båda generalerna hade uppnått de mål som Saddam Hussein hade ställt upp. Viktigast var att den irakiska krigsmakten fick operera fritt på sitt eget territorium. Stridsflyget fick inte användas, men väl helikoptrarna. Nu hade Saddam alla de verktyg han behövde för att överleva.
They should surrender their equipment, the lot. When you're dealing with a dictator, he has got not only to be defeated, well and truly, but he's got to be seen to be defeated by his own people, so that they identify the privations they've had to go through with his actions. And we didn't do that.
I think what we should have insisted upon is Saddam Hussein come to Safwan. That was our mistake. Because that allowed him to blame his generals for the defeat and not he himself.
Saddam Hussein satte nu in styrkor från Bagdad som var lojala mot honom för att slå ner upproret. De amerikanska trupperna kunde iaktta striderna från sina ställningar, men hade order om att inte ingripa.
My advice to the president throughout the period of this uprising is that this did not seem to me to be an operation that we needed to get involved in, because I couldn't figure out who was doing what to whom, and it would have required us to move further into Iraq and take responsibility for that part of Iraq and for a purpose that was not stated.
And that was the quagmire. Therein laid Vietnam as far as we were concerned, because we would still be there. And what's more, given the American way of doing things, we would have then had the responsibility for rebuilding all of the infrastructure. And we were just determined not to get sucked into that trap.
När upproriska byar och städer föll i Irak blev det fruktansvärda repressalier. Den irakiska regimen tycker om att filma sig själv i aktion. Bilderna visar shia-muslimska fångar och högt uppsatta officerare inom regimen. Upptagningen nådde västvärlden 2 år senare.
The Americans did not interfere. Therefore, it took us only a few days to recover from the surprise, to reorganize our troops, reorganize our resources, and impose peace and order in the southern governors. It took us 2 weeks to do that.
Bara några kilometer därifrån gjorde sig en halv miljon allierade soldater redo att lämna Irak. Efter de långa månaderna i öknen skulle de nu resa hem. De allierade hoppades fortfarande på att någon av Saddams generaler skulle störta honom. Men upproret fick generalen att sluta upp kring Saddam av fruktan för något ännu värre. Vita huset hade gjort en felbedömning. Men den irakiske ledaren hade ett löfte kvar att infria.
We didn't hear any bombing at night. And that was very strange. And you start to hope. You start to think, gosh, the war's over. You can't help it. Somebody came in and just said, get your things together, you're going. And you look around and say, what things? I have no things. And he said, you know, go out. And you wonder if it's a trick and you kind of put your head round the side of the cell in case somebody's waiting outside there with a cricket bat or something. And there was a line of people standing outside in yellow uniforms. And I joined the end of the line. There were hundreds of reporters, hundreds and hundreds. And that's really quite overwhelming. I mean, you've just been in solitary. And I think that's really when you thought, well, I probably am released. Whenever anybody gets back from war, trying to convince anybody what the realities of war are like is very difficult. Not just my situation, you know, if you've been shot at or in combat and seen friends die, you see it in the films, but you don't smell it, you don't hear it, and you don't see grown men cry, and you don't see what it's like to see real people hurt. And you can never put it in words when you return either.
Nu bröt ännu ett uppror ut bland kurderna i norra Irak. Där hade Saddam tidigare satt in kemiska vapen, men kurderna antog att regimen var försvagad. Hemliga polisens högkvarter i Soleimanie var ett av regimens nervcentrum. I många år hade gerillan kämpat för ett självständigt Kurdistan. Nu gjorde man gemensam sak med de upproriska trupperna och gick till anfall. Männen i byggnaden gjorde förtvivlat motstånd. De hade mycket att stå till svars för. Efter mörkrets inbrott stormades byggnaden. En kurdisk tonåring som vuxit upp i England var där. Han och hans kamrater hade hört president Bush på radio.
George Bush said that he would back up a people's revolution in Iraq. Then they thought, that's all we need. That's all we wanted to hear, so they just did it.
På morgonen samlades invånarna vid den brinnande byggnaden. Många hoppades få veta vad som hade hänt med vänner och anhöriga som hållits fångade. Skolkamrater till Mustafa Aziz hörde till de saknade.
We were really scared because of this, you know, death camp which had been known that anyone who'd enter would never walk out again. We walked in towards this one room and we saw these hooks like you get in a butcher shop where they hang the meat on them. And on one of the hooks we saw a body, and you know, we saw that the Iraqis would hook people on there. I thought, how could they do this to people? There was bodies everywhere. Iraqi security officers all dead on the floor. It was raining as well at the time, and all the puddles would be just blood. I remember just swearing at the Iraqis, and I remember going up to a couple of bodies and kicking them and spitting on them.
Kurdiska oppositionsledare som levt i exil började återvända. Kring Soleimanie fanns det starkaste stödet för det parti som leddes av Jalal Talabani. De kurdiska politikerna ville starta en kupp mot Saddam. De hoppades att en ny irakisk ledare skulle låta kurderna sköta sina egna angelägenheter. Talabani åtföljdes av en observatör från den amerikanska senaten. Han anser att den dagen blev en vändpunkt.
At that point, everything hung in the balance. Had the United States signaled its support for the uprising, I am convinced it would have succeeded. there were Iraqi generals who were, in fact, in touch with the opposition and who were sitting on the fence waiting to see what would happen. And when the United States did nothing, said nothing, sat on its hands, of course, they took the course of caution.
Samma natt gick Saddam Husseins styrkor till anfall. Washington hade beslutat sig för att inte stödja ett uppror som kunde leda till Iraks sönderfall. Rebellstyrkorna gjorde motstånd men var helt underlägsna i fråga om eldkraft. De kurdiska ledarna som manat till uppror hade gjort en fruktansvärd felbedömning. När städerna träffades av granatregnet utbröt panik. Inte nog med att förlusterna var svåra. Man var rädd att kemiska vapen kunde sättas in när som helst. Flyktingar anlände med fasansfulla berättelser om truppernas framfart.
Anyone over 15, anyone that was capable of carrying on, they shoot. They have got no mercy whatsoever. They came with an intention of revenge.
I do not want to push American forces beyond our mandate. And we've done the heavy lifting. Our kids perform with superior courage, and they don't need to be thrust into a war that's been going on for years.
De irakiska styrkorna ryckte obevekligt fram och städerna i Kurdistan tömdes inför deras ankomst. 1 miljon människor var i rörelse. De flydde upp mot bergen för att sätta sig i säkerhet bortom den turkiska och iranska gränsen.
When George Bush said that he didn't want the American military interfering in this, the Kurds got scared. We heard the shelling and the bombing, and our next door neighbor came around and he said, look, you've heard what people are saying about the Iraqis. I think it'd be, you know, wise of us just to leave Sulaymaniyah. So my dad agreed and said, okay, we'll leave.
It reminded me of refugees leaving Paris in June 1940, just ahead of the German army. Everybody knew of George Bush's call for them to rise up and overthrow Saddam Hussein, and they all had exactly one question. Why isn't Bush helping us?
Amerikanska flygare som patrullerade i det irakiska luftrummet kunde se hur kurderna jagades upp i bergen, men de hade klara order om att inte ingripa. Istället gjorde de iakttagelser.
We saw helicopters chasing a lot of people down a road, and we saw the gunships shooting at them. You could see the smoke coming out of the gunship and occasionally see flashes of the tracers, even though the sun had just started coming up.
Everybody started to panic. I was just like shocked, staring at the helicopter, and there's this bright light and a little smoke coming out, and then this red thing would just fly towards the mountain and hit the cars. Their intention was to kill us.
We felt frustrated in the fact that we couldn't help the uprising that was going on the ground for whatever political reasons that were above our rank. And the best we could do is report what we saw and eventually hope that it was taken care of.
Saddam Hussein bombing, bomba, helicopters destroyed us. I don't know. They saw this, but they don't know why. We are human like you.
The only issue that came up is, should we do something about the Iraqi helicopters? It had never been one of our objectives to get involved in this kind of civil uprising between factions within Iraq and the Iraqi government. And so it was not clear what purpose would have been achieved by getting ourselves mixed up in the middle of that.
De irakiska styrkorna fortsatte framryckningen, men presidenten hade lovat USA att trupperna skulle komma hem. Britterna ville att man skulle inrätta tillflyktsorter åt kurderna, men presidenten vägrade.
What was self-evident was that unless some action was taken, we may well be seeing the genocide of a nation. We found it intolerable, and for that reason we began to proceed with our plans to do something about it.
USA och dess president firade segern. Men tv-bilderna av kurdernas flykt gav det hela en ihålig klang. Strax innan firandet tog sin början bad presidenten utrikesminister Baker att undersöka hur situationen kunde avdramatiseras.
We did not want to take on the responsibility for having to create a safe haven there. And if it was going to be enforced, it wasn't going to be enforced by others. It was going to have to be enforced by Uncle Whiskers, and we really didn't want to do it.
Baker's PR-konsulter föreslog ett besök hos kurderna.
As we were flying along, we all of a sudden saw a whole sea of people camped out in the mountains, and this was early spring when it was quite cold. We landed there, and then we took four-wheel drive vehicles up the mountain. There were 50 to 75,000 people in this little valley. Every piece of ground had a little tent or a makeshift shelter on it, and they'd cut down all the trees for firewood. And they were drinking out of the mountain streams, and some were barefooted.
Baker fick bara stanna 7 minuter på marken innan säkerhetsmännen drog honom med sig. Men på den korta stunden fick han klart för sig att det här inte bara var en humanitär tragedi. Det kunde också utlösa en politisk katastrof.
I called the president from the airplane and told him I'd never seen anything like this, and that there a lot of people were going to die if we didn't do something and do something quickly, and that he needed to really break whatever China was required in order to get it done.
I have directed the U.S. military to begin immediately to establish several encampments in northern Iraq where relief supplies for these refugees will be made available in large quantities. I can well appreciate that many Kurds have good reason to fear for their safety. And let me reassure them that adequate security will be provided at these temporary sites by U.S., British, and French air and ground forces.
The impact on the American psyche of what happened in Vietnam, of being bogged down in a ground war that damaged America very badly, was a very real issue. And the prospect of another huge problem with large numbers of American troops going back into northern Iraq. It's hardly surprising that they weren't immediately attracted to that. But once the full dimension of what was happening, once Jim Baker saw it, once they had absorbed what we were saying to them about the seriousness of the problem, then they became engaged, and then things began to move very speedily.
Här utspelade sig Kuwaitkrigets slutscen. Männen som hade planerat kriget fruktade vad de kallade ett snöpligt slut. Att man skulle köra fast, som i Vietnam, eller få ett dödläge, som i Korea. Men det här var ett slut som ingen hade förutsett. Två uppror som brutalt slogs ner av en krigsmakt som gjorde gemensam sak med Saddam och höll honom kvar vid makten.
We decided that enough is enough. Let's withdraw our forces, our security from there. Let them do whatever they like for a while. It might take months or years, but in the end, they will come back to their homeland because they will realize that there is no other option for them except to be part of Iraq and part of the state of Iraq.
Två veckor efter befrielsen återvände emiren till Kuwait. Löftena om ökad demokrati i landet ledde inte till något nämnvärt. Även om kriget var riktat mot tyranniet var det inte demokrati man hade kämpat för. Kuwaitierna tog hem ute på gatorna. Hundratals kuwaitier hade dött under ockupationen. Nu gick medborgargarden ut och grep misstänkta kollaboratörer trots att bevisen ofta var svaga. PLO-ledaren Yasser Arafat hade stött Saddam Hussein och därför var alla palestinier misstänkta. Tusentals palestinier som bott i Kuwait i flera årtionden greps. Många torterades och flera hundra försvann. Kuwaits regering körde till sist ut alla de 400 000 palestinierna ur landet. Nu när PLO förskjutits av sina arabiska beskyddare ökade trycket på palestinierna att förhandla med Israel. USA hyllade sina hemvändande soldater. Efter Vietnamkriget var det inga jublande folkmassor på gatorna. Men efter Kuwaitkriget kunde den amerikanska krigsmakten åter känna stolthet och självförtroende. General Freddie Franks, som ledde anfallet mot det republikanska gardet, hade förlorat ena benet i Vietnam. Efter 20 år hade han nu nått sitt mål.
Soldiers I was with in the hospital got so tired of having to explain that they were wounded in Vietnam and people saying to them, oh what a shame, all that for nothing, that they stopped talking about it. After it was all over, my wife and I walked over to the Vietnam Memorial and talked to some of the Vietnam veterans who were there. And I said to them, hey, this one's for you too.
Kuwaitkriget utplånade inte den skugga som Vietnamkriget kastade. Som konflikten i Bosnien skulle visa ville USA inte agera världspolis. Men amerikanerna kunde åter känna stolthet över sina soldater. Under en tid utropade USA en ny världsordning. Det visade sig vara en storslagen illusion, men generalerna hade kommit olyckskorparna på skam.
We had accomplished an overwhelming military victory. We had accomplished all of our objectives. We had inflicted great casualties and great damage to the Republican Guard. We had inflicted great damage to the Iraqi military force, and we had ejected the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and that, after all, was the purpose of it, and we had done it all with an amazingly low loss of life.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States!
Bush återvände i triumf till kongressen, men två år senare röstade det amerikanska folket bort honom. Även för presidenten skulle slutet bli snöpligt.
I can report to the nation, aggression is defeated. The war is over.
För att vinna stöd för kriget hade Bush jämfört Saddam Hussein med Hitler. Men Saddam och hans förtryckarregim blev kvar. Han har kvar sitt jobb. Har du? Stod det på en dekal i valkampanjen.
When you demonize an enemy such as the president tended to do with Saddam Hussein, which was a useful way to raise public interest and support of what we were doing. We also face the problem of if he was still there at the end of it, which he most likely would be, it would take some shine off the achievement.
That is the aggressor, Saddam Hussein, still in power. There is the President of the United States, no longer in power. There is the Prime Minister of Britain, who did quite a lot to get things there, no longer in power. I wonder who won.
Saddam Hussein överlevde och kan hävda att det var han som vann. Men invasionen av Kuwait slutade i vanära och hans drömmar om att utmana Israel och ta kontrollen över Mellanöstern gick om intet. FN-inspektörer är fortfarande i färd med att förstöra hans anläggningar för tillverkning av kärnvapen och biologiska stridsmedel. Sanktionerna har slagit hårt mot den irakiska ekonomin. Trotset är det enda som finns kvar.